بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, in a hadith, the Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said to the Sahaba, do not steal in Salah. They asked him, Ya Rasulullah, how can one steal in Salah? He said, stealing in Salah is not to do, not to make all the movements correctly and perfectly. Now, we see many times, may Allah protect us, we see people, and maybe we are among those people, who try to pray fast for whatever reason, and we partially go into ruku, we don't go completely into ruku, then we stand up, we don't even completely stand up, we just partially stand up, then we dive into sajda, and we just touch the forehead on the ground and then we come back up again. In another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not make such that, do not pray like a crow drinking water, you know, pecking the ground. Now, we do all of these things. The thing is to ask that what kind of a blighted existence is it that the person does not even have sukoon in salah? Now, if he does not have sukoon and sakina in salah, where is he going to find this sukoon? Where is he going to find this peace and tranquility in his life? Well, even if in the presence of Allah, if he doesn't have it, where is he going to have it? And that's the whole issue of khushu in salah, which is when there is khushu in salah, you can see it in the individual. In another hadith, there was a man who was praying and he was stroking his beard and so forth, adjusting his clothes. Where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if there was khushu in his heart, that khushu would be visible in his body, meaning that he would be standing still. It is said about the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain, that they stood so still in Salah that it was as if there were birds perched on their heads and they were afraid that the bird would fly away if they moved, and so they were standing so still. Now, that's why standing still in salah is an indication of the awareness of being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, there was a man who was praying. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the masjid. This man came in and he prayed two rakat, and then he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have not prayed. Go back and pray again. The man went back, he prayed another two rakat, he came back. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you have not prayed, go back and pray again. He went for the third time, he prayed two rakat, he came back. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you have not prayed, go back and pray. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, this is all I know. I don't know what to do other than this. Now, alhamdulillah, the man's, this is his khushu himself. This is his sincerity. And Rasulullah then taught him what to do. And this also refers to his praying in that way, which is in a hurried way. Let me share this with you. Just think about this. Consider the tasbihat in ruku and in sujood. See what is the tasbih. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. And Subhana Rabbi al-Ala. Just reflect on this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this tasbih, and this is the mercy of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say all praise and glory to Rabbul Alameen, right? He did not say Subhana Rabbul Alameen. Allah said Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim. We are saying here that my Rabb, Rabbi, my Rabb, we are showing this relationship of ours to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Now, think about that, enjoy that, revel in that, feel honored about this, that Allah gave us this permission to address Him as Rabbi, my Rabb. Who am I? Am I somebody who is worthy of calling the creator of the heavens and the earth my Rabb, my personal connection? And that's the whole point of Islam. Islam is to connect the creature with the creator, is to connect the slave with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to connect the abd with the Rabb jalla jalaluhu. And that's the reason why we need to focus on this and ensure that we have an awareness of this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in salah, praying with peace and tranquility, taking our time about it. When we recite also, recite slowly. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially Surah Al-Fatiha, he used to recite one ayah at a time. He didn't join up the ayahs. It is not haram to do that, but this was not the sunnah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite one ayah at a time, because as we know, I have already mentioned that in an earlier Fajr reminder, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies to the slave when he is reciting the surah. So it is almost like listening for the response between the ayat when we are reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. Other surahs also, it is better to recite one ayat at a time. So recite peacefully and calmly, and then make the movements fully and again calmly. So when we go into ruku, ensure that we go into ruku where the back is perpendicular, is parallel to the ground, not perpendicular, is parallel to the ground, is absolutely flat. If somebody has a problem with the back, they don't have to force it, but for others who don't have such problems, so back is flat, our hands are on our knees, and then we recite the tasbih of ruku, subhana rabbil azim, and we do this 5 times, we do this 7 times, we can do this as many times as we want. 3 times is the absolute basic minimum. But that 3 times, we tend to do it in such a fast way, this is not it, even to pronounce the tasbih. Imagine what is the tasbih in ruku? Subhana rabbi al-azim. Now if I say subhana rabbi al-azim, is that a tasbih? This is not. You're making some noise. I mean, this is not tasbih. So you have not done the tasbih in ruku, and so also in sujood, if you have not even pronounced the words properly and correctly, then how can we say the salah is valid? How can we say the salah is of good quality when we are not even pronouncing the words? I'm not even talking about what is the effect of those words in my heart. When I'm saying that, am I saying it with awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with my love for my Rabb Jalla Jalalu? I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying just simply mechanically pronouncing the words. If the tasbih is these words, then obviously if I say that I have done the tasbih in ruku, I should have said Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. 3 times. Now, if I say this 3 times, how long did it take me? Instead of that, we say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, we start up. So, in 2 seconds, we have ruku is finished. Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhana Rabbi al-Ala, Subhana Rabbi al-Ala, Subhana Rabbi al-Ala. Even if I am doing it 3 times, which as I said is the basic minimum, even that takes at least this much, at least this long. But we, just tap the ground and we are gone and we are done with the salah. So, let us not be thieves in salah. Let us not steal from our own salah and destroy the salah in the process. Let us ensure that we have stillness, we have peace and tranquility and harmony when we are praying. So ensure that we do all the movements correctly. Ensure that all the recitations in the salah, the Quran and then the tasbihat and then the du'as are all done peacefully and with harmony when we are in salah, so that there is no sense of rushing. Our life is full of rushing, is full of engagement all the time. Let us forget that. When we are in salah, engage only and only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. That is the way to gain concentration and khushu in salah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that. There are many hadiths with regard to the khushu in salah, with regard to how the concentration helped the sahaba, and so read those also, because it's inspiring to read about how the sahaba prayed with Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. The people used to accept Islam just seeing Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu standing in salah. This was the complaint of the Quraysh, that this man, his salah converts our people. So tell him to pray inside his house. Tell him not to pray outside in his courtyard. So imagine what kind of a salah was that. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said to Abu Bakr Siddiq, he said, let me teach you something to say at the end of the salah, and he taught him the dua we make, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathiran faghfirli fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. Oh Allah, I have committed zulm, I have oppressed myself, and please forgive me and forgive my oppressing myself, and in because you are the only one who forgives and there's no one who forgives except you, and this is the dua we make at the end of salah. Imagine, this is the dua being taught to Messenger of Allah to somebody whose salah was already that good. Yet, this is a sign of the humility of the slave, where no matter what we do, we know that we are doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nothing which is intrinsically fitting for Him and for His glory and His majesty. So we do our best, and then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enhance it, to clean it up, to forgive its mistakes and its deficiencies, and to then accept it as our hadiya, as our gift, as our humble gift to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased and to enable us to pray in a way that pleases Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman.